Hello, you are listening to the Student Radio Association show. I'm Toby Fox.
I'm Lawrence Grant, and we're from URY.
Currently outside the train station at Tramlines 2016.
In Sheffield.
At my hometown. So, headlining at the Ponderosa Park on Sunday night is Catfish and the Bottlemen, while tonight there's Dizzy Rascal in the house, and on Saturday tomorrow there is the legendary
George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic.
And Khalees is over there too.
It's gonna be lit, fam.
I think it's time to find a bar, don't you? Hello there, this is Toby and Larry in the Peace Gardens for Tramlines 2016. The weather is beautiful and the city is in full swing with bands and street performers everywhere here. In fact, there's a stage right behind us now. The bands are just changing over on it. Every corner you turn, there's a busker and...
I don't think the buskers are officially supported by Tramlines.
Maybe not. But if you're not from Sheffield, or I suppose even if you are, you'll be greeted with one of two things on your entrance to Tramlines. One is the massive wall of water outside the train station, or...
the multitude of elephants which are dotted around the city.
Oh, they're everywhere. And each one is painted or decorated in a different way, all to raise money for Sheffield Children's Hospital.
I know, you can make probably quite a fun game out of it.
Yeah. Like, elephant spotting.
Yeah. Every time you walk around, another one appears. I don't know who's putting them down.
A wild elephant appeared. We're not nerds, I promise. So, to keep things moving, I'm going to play an interview I did earlier today at the Harley with a band called Ekka. Now, I describe Ekka as a 90s-style R&B and funk band. Really good. And they've just released a double A-side with What's Up, The Space Between Us, and they're playing tonight at the Harley as well. Here's the interview I did earlier. I'm here at the Harley with Rebecca and Rebecca from Ekka. It's really good to meet you.
Hey, you all right? Nice to meet you.
Thank you so, so much for doing an interview with me. Have you been at Tramlines long?
Yeah, about 5 minutes.
We just got here. Yeah. And our van broke down on the way. So
oh, no.
Yeah. Had an eventful journey.
Where were you travelling from?
London.
Okay.
We live there.
Right, okay. How is it there?
Good, yeah. Very hot and sweaty at the moment. But
yeah. I gather it would be if it's anything like it is up here today. So warm. I gather you've been quite busy with festivals recently.
Yeah, we did British Summertime. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago? Yeah, we did that, supporting Take That.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, before that we did Basto. So,
yeah, what was that like?
That was incredible, yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
Would you say it's the best gig you've done all year?
Yeah, I would actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Definitely. Everyone was going crazy. Yeah. It was like the first day, like Friday.
It was your first time playing at Glastonbury last year. How did you find that? Was it the same experience that time as it was this?
Yeah, I'd never been to Glastonbury the year before, so it would be the introducing stage, and that was a bit of an experience.
Oh, I'm sure it was, yeah. What makes you make music?
Well, good question. We haven't always known each other. You know, we've been writing music and playing music together for 11 years. Before that, we both did music separately when we were like super young, and when we kind of met at school and kind of became friends, we were both like, oh, you do music, oh, so do I, like, and we just started writing music together.
So you first had a friendship that turned into the music.
Yeah, real plan being like 15, just other than like we can both do this, and then it's just got on from there.
And does it still happen like that? So is it still the friendship and common interest and just getting together that help the ideas, or do you tend to work separately and then bring them together to produce a finished product?
Yeah, I think it varies every time, but a lot of the time we get together and talk about what's going on in our lives, so that really helps the songs, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's really nice, actually. You've recently released a video for a song, The Space Between Us, that came out on a double A-side not so long ago now. What's the reception been
like? it's been really amazing, actually. We brought it out at the same time as a song called What's Up and a double A-side, and we've had like so much support from BBC Radio 6 and Radio 1, especially like Lauren Laverne for playing What's Up, Space Between Us, the sister song, a lot on her show, so we've been really grateful for the support we've seen through those songs. Yeah.
Oh, good. How did that compare to your last release, Last Chance to Dance?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar. Like, Hugh Stevens really locked onto both of the releases that we've done. I think they've got quite similar sounds, those songs, so I think the reception for both of those has been really good.
Amazing, yeah. I'm really glad for you. How did the writing process differ between the two releases?
Well, we wrote Last Chance to Dance on our own in a bedroom, and we wrote the double A-side songs in LA with Dane Funk, so it's quite different, yeah.
Wow.
Really different.
From Birmingham to LA.
Yeah. Are you still in contact with Dane Funk? Are you still working with him?
Yeah, we worked with him for a week in LA. Obviously, when we left LA, we stopped kind of working together in the studio like that. But, I mean, we definitely work together again. Like, we've still got a really close relationship with him and speak a lot, so...
He, like, came to London to do a show, and we, like, met up with him then. So I think, like, the future holds, like, maybe working together again, yeah.
Superb, yeah. Are there any other producers or artists that you'd want to collaborate with?
Quincy Jones.
Ooh.
He is still alive. Although he's very old, I would absolutely love to work with Quincy Jones.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Any others?
I mean, I'd say, like, I still really, like, absolutely love Mark Ronson's stuff, and I think that it would really suit what
Definitely.
We're doing. So I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, Uptown Special's a great album. You mentioned that your most recent song was written for David Bowie. Was that written with the intention of being a dedication, or was it a bit further down the songwriting process where you thought that it would be quite fitting?
We'd started the music to the song the day before, writing the music for it, and then we went to bed and we woke up and we found out that he passed away, and we were kind of just so devastated about the news. We were like, this is going to be perfect for that music we were writing yesterday. We're going to sing about, like, Bowie and all that he meant for us. So it was kind of a little bit of both.
It really was a shame when he died. Did he have much of an impact or influence on your early musical career?
Massively. I mean, I think we, like, especially, like, Let's Dance, it's a classic one, but especially for us with the music we write, like...
Yeah, and Ziggy Stardust, like, the way he transformed into a different kind of person throughout his career, and, like, his fashion and just, like... his presence in the music industry was really, really just important, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. He's touched so many people, probably one of the most influential people ever to have walked this planet. Do you have any more gigs lined up, or is Tramlines the end of your current tour?
No, so we have, we're playing Broadmasters, which is a festival in Newquay, in a few weeks' time. I've never been there before.
No, I've never.
So really excited about that. Maybe we'll do some singing.
Yeah, if the weather holds.
Yeah. I've got
sound check and gig.
I've got the big festival in Chipping Norton, which is the one that Alex James puts on from Blur. So that'll be pretty good. I think there's meant to be some amazing food there.
It sounds like it.
And then we've got the tour with Jodie in September.
Oh, of course.
And obviously with Shura in February, is it?
November.
November, sorry.
Sounds like you're really busy then.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you were first starting out in your music careers, how did university help you out, and where did you both go?
I went to Birmingham City University.
Yeah, I did the same. I did a year in Coventry, which is not too far. And,
And that allowed you to continue with your songwriting?
Yeah, that's why we went to Birmingham, basically.
Oh, must have been really nice. I'm glad you did.
Dedication.
And that is Eka. Thank you so much for doing this interview with me. They're playing tonight at the Harley here at Tramlines Festival, but go check them out. They're really cool, really good band as well. Just thank you. It's been
nice
a pleasure.
And that was Toby interviewing Eka earlier today.
Tramlines 2016. So we're here sat in Devonshire Green for the second night of Tramlines Festival. Tonight is considerably more cluttered, however.
You know how Poppies sprouted?
Yeah, in 111.
In 111, after the song.
Yeah.
This is basically the same, but for drunk people.
Something like that. We've just come out from seeing Milburn. Well, just what the cat dragged in. And how good were they?
Between every song, you had chanting on
Yo, Ben.
They're going to play an encore. They're not finished the set. You don't have to chant for them.
And they were the secret headliners over at the Leadmill playing at 12 a.m. They were so good. But it's been a busy day other than Milburn. We've been to see many other bands, one of the most interesting being Daniel Whitehouse over at the Cathedral.
When we got to the Cathedral, you walk in the door, and there's just loads of people sitting down. There's a bar inside the cathedral. It's sacrilegious or something, I'm not sure. So you're sitting in this cathedral, lights are shining up. The acoustics in that cathedral.
Oh, they're amazing.
But I think more cathedrals should be turned into...
Oh, venues. Definitely, yeah.
That was someone throwing a bottle at a lamppost.
Why is there a guy throwing bottles into the skate park?
Because there's so many bottles about, there's nothing else to do.
And then the calm turned into the storm after we finished watching Daniel's performance at the cathedral. We moved our way straight over to the Millennium Galleries and listened to some noise music. Yep, noise music. And that was one of the most popular songs by the band we saw, Giant Swan.
We decided to go on a sort of experimental tour of the avant-garde of Sheffield. They were crazy. Imagine you got a vacuum cleaner and you put it straight towards your microphone and then put it through maybe 30 effects pedals. Yeah. And the sort of...
And whilst they're doing all this, there's somebody live coding on the projector and a random GIF looping.
GIF was just like an anteater licking its lips over and over again. And then you sort of jumped around the stage, messing with all the pedals to make all these different sounds.
It's really quite incredible seeing them work together so well. It's almost 2 o'clock here on Devonshire Green.
You know what that means?
I see these evil thoughts about rubberies, M's and horse. I won radio shows and awards, but it always goes...
We're going to continue this later, because we're going to go see Big Nasty.
I would call it Big Nasty, but he has spelt it Big Nasty, so I don't think I've got much choice.
Tramlines Festival 2016.
Hello, Tramlines Day 3 here. What are we up to, Larry?
Okay, so we're making our way over to the O2 to interview Eliza and the Bear. They're an indie pop band, a very loyal fan base.
Yeah, that's for sure. They're playing later today at the O2 Academy, a 3:45. I think they should fill it easy. I think we'll absolutely be making a gift. Hi there, I'm Toby.
I'm Lawrence from the Student Radio Association, here with Eliza and the Bear.
How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks. Toby, do you want to start?
Yeah, of course. How have you been finding tramlines?
We've literally just arrived. We rounded in, what time did we get in? About two, no, half 1 o'clock, something like that. Yeah, because it's about a 3-hour drive up from London when we were this morning.
Is that where you guys are from?
Yeah. So you picked up the van at like 8:30,
yeah.
Drove up, and then we're heading off to another festival pretty much straight after, so that's quite a...
Which one?
Blackthorn?
Yeah, it's in Manchester.
Yeah.
Where I was working.
It's a pretty hectic couple of days. But
yeah, it sounds like it.
So you're not going to be able to see much of Sheffield?
Going to see literally nothing. Which
we've seen quite a bit of it before. We've toured here quite a bit. So we were just all, funny enough, we was walking down and we recognised, is it Red Hot Barbecue? The all-you-can-eat buffet?
Ah, Red Hot, yeah.
It's probably my fondest memory of Sheffield, to be honest.
Not
six
during,
hours.
During the buffet was great. Afterwards was a nightmare.
Yeah, it all felt so sick.
Yeah. Did you feel like, I've paid 17 quid, I'm going to eat as much as I can.
Yeah,
like
you've got to bring a briefcase or something.
Yeah, like a bigger
obviously, I haven't seen any of the acts here. Is there any you would like to do?
Catfish, headlining tonight, who are incredible. We seem to be playing quite a lot of festivals. We played Truck Festival last weekend with them, and then next weekend we're at Why Not with those guys.
Who else has played? Khalees?
Oh, yeah. Apparently she was all right. Not amazing. But I want to see Milkshake live, and that's like...
Got to see that song.
Probably everyone in the world would be like, yeah, I'll watch Milkshake.
Yeah.
Just gotta time it right.
Yeah, just get there. Like, last song, that's
it. Your debut album recently came out, didn't it? Self-titled. Mm-hmm. What's it like touring on the back of that?
It's really cool because we've been playing those songs for years. Like we finished the album at the back end of 2014, so we've been sat on it for about a year and a half before it came out. So to be able to play the songs that haven't been released and see people like singing along and really kind of knowing the words and dancing, it kind of gives those songs a new lease of life for us, because obviously we've been playing them for 3 years solid, no one knows what they are or what the words are, so now everyone does. It's really cool. It's fun.
This morning we were looking at some of your stuff. Mm-hmm. We were looking at the music video for,
It Gets Cold.
That was a really good music video. What was it like doing that?
Well, we are rubbish with ideas of videos, but the director we work with, a guy called Marcus Schroeder, he's one of those guys that we've done about 3 or 4 videos of him. He's one of those guys that he'll email you with this pitch, and it'll just be like the most ridiculous dream that he's had.
Yeah.
And we're like, we haven't got that much money to make this video, how are you going to pull it off? And he's like, don't worry, I will do it. And you just show up at the set, and he's got all these characters and all these backdrops and all these cameras in it. It's like somehow he pulls off these videos. He's a wonderful man.
The pitch was like, where the song's quite upbeat and happy, we just didn't want a video that coincides with that, because it would have just come across really cheesy, I think.
Yeah.
So the sort of vibe that he was saying in his pitch just perfectly matches. It's kind of got like a dark sort of element to it.
Like
so it just works nicely against the song. But
creepy without being.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I kind of think is what happens in a lot of our songs. It's like they sound quite bright and cheery, but there's like an undertone there that isn't quite so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the video does a similar kind of thing.
How did you first get in touch with Martin, the director?
We did make it on my own, and then we released Lion's Heart, and he pitched for Lion's Heart in the Maze, where he created all the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Just caught our attention. But it sounded like a Roald Dahl book or something. It was like, oh, I want a guy with a badminton racket and a cloud on his head.
So when you want to do a music video, you'll send out a kind of the song to all these directors, and they'll pitch back to you. And
here's
in
like
that email, you get
out.
Like a folder of like 20 pitches, and his just,
it's like fun to almost get creative. He's like one of those guys that just like, when we was on set with him and we met up like a couple of times in like a couple of coffee shops, and he was just showing videos, we were just getting creative with him, and he's like one of those guys, once the idea starts flowing, he just goes.
He's so excited about everything, he just loves what he does.
Yeah,
that's exactly
what you want.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, he's a great guy to work with.
Yeah, about songwriting, creative thinking, how'd you go about it?
We kind of change it up a lot. When we wrote the album, the first album, we had a kind of process where it was to jump in the practice room and jam out songs and just see what works.
Sort of traditional sort of.
Yeah, now we're kind of changing it a little bit. We're getting together in like a studio setting and really thinking about the intricacies of songs and trying to improve on what we've already learned. But you've got to kind of keep it fresh and excited every time, because if we did the same thing as album one, now we'd probably go insane.
So,
yeah.
Have you been in the studio recently?
Not as such in a big recording studio. The last recording we did was a song for a film called Kids in Love. But we've got like home setups.
So, what was it like doing a song for a film?
Sick. Really, really good to be fair.
So, did they pitch it to you?
They basically just got loads of artists down to watch the film in like a private screening. The kind of film it just evoked loads of ideas in us, so we literally went home and I think we like wrote the song in like a day, because it was just instant. I don't know, it just connected, and the ideas for the song, we kind of just matched the film. I don't know many artists pitched for it, but we ended up becoming successful. We just sort of found that was actually quite a strong point of ours, sort of writing from the visuals and the film and having that. It just gave us, you know, loads of ideas, and for some of it's the way that we work really well. So
yeah, it sounds like a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and the film was really good, and we're excited to kind of get those two out together and see kind of how the film does and the public eye. Hopefully the song kind of does the same.
I really hope so. It's a very good track.
Thank you.
You're at the tail end of your tour, aren't you?
Yes.
We are. What date is it today?
This is our festival season, so it's sort of like a tour, but there, you know, there's not very many festivals that go on weekdays, so it's just like we're almost
weekend
home for the week, writing, and then away for the weekend to play, you know. And it just happens this weekend, we've got a really, really manic one.
Yeah.
But it's good, like, to be fair, festival season is, I think, where our band thrives the best, you know, like, the sort of atmosphere at festivals is just, our songs seem to just go really well with it, so we should love festival season.
Yeah, and that's the best thing, like, when you play a song and someone sings back to you and get, like, mosh pits and stuff, that's it.
Yeah.
Because we all come from, like, heavier bands, so, like, the dream is to have, like, proper mosh pits.
Sheer circle pits.
Because we played, like, heavier bands and no one would come to our show, so there'd be no pits or anything like that. So now we're playing, essentially, indie pop music, now we're getting pits, it's like, banging.
So how did you guys meet up?
We're essentially like two bands. Martin, Brandy were in a band called
Lost Such a Slot.
And then me and Callie, our piano player, were in another band. The idea of those bands was to be as big as possible. We just wanted to like tour endlessly. But we got old, kind of needed to get jobs and give it up a little bit. So we got together and decided to write some tunes together. And then it kind of all kind of snowballed down. And,
and the magic happened.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, and we feel like maybe taking that pressure off of trying to be a big band kind of maybe worked for us.
What would you say was the best experience in your tour this year?
Bristol. The Thicklow in Bristol was really
Thicklow.
Good.
Truck Festival last weekend was one of those kind of festivals that when you're in festival season, you just play on weekends, so it can be quite tiring, just kind of repeating the whole thing, and you can kind of lose sight of things. Truck Festival kind of cemented why we do what we do as a band. It's like banged out to every single person in the place singing and jumping up, and it was like
Barn on the Farm as well.
Barn on the Farm. All festivals, yeah, festivals for us.
You prefer festivals to your own gigs, then?
They're two different ballparks,
yeah.
I think.
Right.
Festivals, you feel like you have to go out. Not to say you don't have to impress a headline show, but you have to go out and really make your mark straight away. Headline shows are a little bit easier because everyone in that room is there for you. So then automatically you just know you're going to walk out and have
I think like headline shows as well, like you can start playing with lighting and production more. At a festival, it's usually like turn up, plug in, quickly play, smash out and leave. Whereas headline shows, you can take more time to actually put more of a show on. But then that comes with more pressure, so.
Put confetti on.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas at festivals, you can turn up, have a few beers, play, and it's a little less pressure.
Is there any place that you really want to play or tour?
I'd always, you know, Red Rocks in Colorado.
We played Hong Kong, really odd, random location we played. And like one place specifically we went to that I was like, I could literally spend
the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's amazing. But we've not done much in America, so I guess like...
Would you want to?
I'd love to, yeah. Australia as well is like a massive scene. We played like a couple of bits in Europe. You get really, really like treated amazingly. Like.
Yeah, Germany especially is like insane.
Only meat and cheese on the ride.
Really. Yeah, Cali, our piano player, is a vegetarian. Yeah. I remember he was like, oh, I'm vegetarian. And I'm like, oh, I've got mashed potato.
No, it was celery. I just had a pot of celery and sour cream.
I remember the mashed potato that came in. It was just had bacon in it.
No.
For no reason. He was like, why has the mashed potato
not
bacon?
Add meat to everything.
We had a similar situation last night at Taco Bell.
Oh, really? Who's a veggie?
I am.
Oh,
yeah. They messed up my order. I asked for vegetarian tacos. They weren't serving burritos. They weren't serving enchiladas.
And they ended up giving you meat?
Did you eat it?
I had to.
Oh, no. No.
This is going to go on the radio now.
Your secret's out.
To be fair, my girlfriend's a vegetarian. My mum's giving her chicken, so...
Did she notice?
She noticed when she put it in her mouth.
As a band, do you have any plans for the future?
Just to keep doing this, it would be the dream. Keep writing music and playing shows, because we're not very good at anything else, I think. This kind of all came falling apart, and it would be... If I was busking...
Yeah, I still feel like the album's like... quite early on in it, obviously, where it's not been out that long. People are still discovering it, people are still like digesting it and stuff. We've got the rest of this festival season, and then we'll do a headline tour at the end of the year, which is like, it's going to be the first headline tour we've done on the back of this album, so it's going to be really exciting. And then we constantly write all the time. Like, it's probably our favourite thing to do is write music, so we've got 35, 40 songs written from, you know, just like...
And counting as well.
And counting, yeah, from the end of last year, so... You know, we're just going to keep writing music, and then when album two is time, we'll start thinking about it and start looking at what tracks we're going to get on it and start the process again, I guess.
Thank you so
much. Thank you very much. That's appreciated.
Best of luck with your set later.
Thank you very much.
Tramlines 2016.
Hello for the final time. We don't have long left now.
So we're going to do a quick rundown of the events.
Absolutely. Friday, we went to see the Dandy Warhols.
And then we missed Dizzy Brass.
Oh, such a shame. Then we went to go and try to get into The Enemy, which were apparently one of the best gigs.
It was packed out.
It was, yeah, they were over capacity by quite a big margin. Then Saturday comes around, we go see a band called Flaws.
They were a shoegaze influenced indie rock band.
And they were in a pub, that was really good. Then after that, we headed over to the O2 Academy to see the Mystery Jets, where we left early to see a band in the City Hall called Basement. However...
Didn't actually get to see because of the O2
Academy. So disappointing.
And we had to go and queue for Milburn.
The surprise headliners, they were really good, really glad we went, but it also meant that we missed our favourite act of the weekend.
Yeah, we missed Craig Charles, which I'm never going to forgive myself.
And just before that, we saw Goat's Head, which were a punk band made mainly up 15-year-olds.
Yeah, they were very powerful. So we made the long walk to the main stage to see George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic. We only caught the end of his set.
The guy on the guitar with the coloured dreads.
A contortionist wearing all the sheepskin.
Yeah, think thrift shop Macklemore.
But topless.
All the dancers, there must have been about 20 people on that stage.
Yeah, fun fact, Toby, some of the dancers were actually his granddaughters.
Keep it in the family. And then Sunday came along, and it was public service broadcasting. They were on the main stage. They were really good. Straight after them was Catfish and the Bottlemen.
And straight after that, we saw Gaz Coombs, didn't we?
It was one of those gigs where everybody stares and looks rather than dances around. Larry, what's your favourite part of Tramlines?
Exploring Sheffield, the wonderful city of culture.
If the walking taught us anything, it's always go the wrong way because you'll always find something new. And are there any improvements you'd make? What would you say they would be, Lawrence?
There should be a free tram service to the main stage.
I completely agree with you. One of the main problems I have with the festival is how far away the main stage is to anything else, and a free tram would completely solve that problem.
It's a very interesting concept, the idea of having a festival in a city. Don't you think it's really lacking? It's like
a capital.
central area.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Everything's too spread out. It's just too exhausting going between places, really. But overall, I think we can both say we've had an amazing weekend. And despite the prospect of getting really achy feet, you should definitely buy a ticket for next year so that you can experience the culture, music and food that Sheffield has to offer you. I've been Toby Fox.
And I've been Lance Crown.
And we're both from University Radio York.
This has been the Student Radio Association show.
Thank you so much to the SRA for providing us with this opportunity. And thank you for listening.
Bye.